Welcome to Walking Together, a podcast all about encouraging each other as we follow Jesus together. I'm your host, Dennis Lavelle. Let's start walking. Well, hey, thanks for joining me today. I was asked if I could make a podcast using the main points that I used on my Easter sermon. Now, if you know me, I'm not much of a preach a Christmas message on Christmas or an Easter sermon on Easter kind of guy. And I guess the same is true for Mother's Day and Father's Day. And the reason for that is because there are some who only come to church for Christmas and Easter, or for that matter, Father's Day or Mother's Day. So that's really the only thing they ever know about the Bible is the Christmas story, or the resurrection, or about Hannah, or how to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And don't get me wrong, while all those things are essential, there are many other lessons in the Bible that are critical to our daily lives. And so just for a few moments, I want to focus on a part of Israel's history when the entire nation was taken captive. And some of these thoughts are my own, others I've borrowed or learned along the way. But the Jewish people were slaves for 70 years in Babylon, which is today's Iraq. Matter of fact, there were millions of Jews in Babylon at that time. And we're going to be seeing things through the eyes of Daniel, who, by the way, was one of those who was taken into captivity. Daniel had a conflict with his culture, just like we do today. And through the years, Daniel saw several kings come and go. And one of those kings was Nebuchadnezzar. And his name means, "May Nebu protect the crown." And I'll come back to that in just a minute. But before I go much further, I'm just going to call King Nebuchadnezzar King Nebi, because it's just so much easier to say, and I'm going to be saying his name quite a bit. So King Nebi thought he was really smart and talented. And honestly, he really was. His wife came from a mountainous region that had lots of flowers and plants. And Babylon was more of a desert place. So he constructed a palace and put hanging plants and flowers everywhere for his wife. And it became known as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Now, the Babylonians were very smart people. They were the ones that came up with their 60 seconds in a minute, and 60 minutes in an hour, and 360 degrees in a circle. And King Nebi was the most powerful and longest reigning ruler of the Babylonian Empire. He was rich, famous, smart, and powerful. And King Nebi's heart just began to swell with pride. And in Daniel 4, verse 29, this is what we read. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace in Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." And as he looked out over the city and the land and the beauty of it, he says, "Wow, what a great job I have done building such a magnificent city for my majesty." And this is what the Bible calls pride. And I've developed an acronym to help you remember what pride is all about. So the P in pride is that it puts yourself above others. The R, it ruins compassion for others. The I, it ignites conflicts. It will always do that. D is that it drains the joy out of everyone around you. And E, it elevates your own ego. And the best way to know if pride is a problem is to ask yourself, does this describe me? You might say, well, it describes someone I know. Well, that's pride too, right? Well, one of the biggest events in my lifetime, in your lifetime, happened last year. Matter of fact, it happened on the 6th of May. Do you remember what it was? King Charles was crowned king. And I'm guessing many of you watched that, or at least watched the highlights. And it fascinated the entire world. He waited such a long time to become king. But the reality is that he didn't become king on the 6th of May. He became king the moment his mother, Queen Elizabeth, breathed her last breath. But he wasn't crowned king until May 6. So the timeline is this. Queen Elizabeth dies on September 8th, 2022. But he wasn't crowned king until the 6th of May, 2023. So he had waited not only 73 years to become king, but he had to wait another 240 days, 7 months and 28 days to be exact, to be crowned king. Again, he was already king, but he had not yet been crowned king. And today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, he's not your king, and you need to address that right now. And the question is he your king? If you have accepted his gift of salvation and forgiveness, and he is your king, have you crowned him as king? Or is he still waiting to be crowned king? If you have crowned him king, then he is the Lord of your life. Now, what does that mean? It means that he has control over every area of your life. See, King Nebi was not only king over a nation, but he made himself king. He crowned himself king over his own life. He was very arrogant, and he only did what he wanted, and he was neglecting the people that he was serving, namely the entire kingdom. And God needed to show King Nebi that he was the one who gave him all that success. And so God, in his grace, warns him about his pride. But he warns him in a dream that he couldn't understand. Now, Daniel had already helped him interpret another dream, but now this one is different. And in this dream, he sees a luscious tree that basically covers all the nations and all the possessions of earth. And in this dream, it gets cut down to a stump. So he calls in all the smart people and the wizards, and they couldn't figure out what this dream means. And then someone said, hey, let's bring Daniel in. I mean, he talks to God. So they bring Daniel in, and you can read about the dream in Daniel 4, verses 10 and 11. And so they bring Daniel in, and he says, King, I know exactly what it means, but you're not going to like it. King, you are that tree. Your kingdom stretches very far. Nearly all the people of the known earth are under your rule. Your kingdom is beautiful. It has food and shade, and both people and the animals are blessed. But here's the problem. You are refusing to let God be crowned king over your life. You are not the true ruler. He is. And God is giving you a warning. If you don't stop what you're doing, here's the consequences. And in verse 4, verses 25 and 26, this is what we read, that the angels, the messengers of God, will come. They will drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. And they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you finally acknowledge that heaven rules. So Daniel tells King Nebi, if you don't put away your pride, you will eat grass like a cow, your hair will become like feathers on a bird, your fingernails will grow and become like claws, you will always be sweaty. And he's warning you, you keep this up, you will go insane. You will act like an animal. And God gave him an entire year to repent and to recognize who the real king was. But he didn't do it. And God's word became reality. Now listen, we meet so many people who tell us because of the pressure and the stress of their marriage, of their finances, their jobs, or taking care of their aging parents or their own health or with their kids, their school classes. They tell us, I think I'm losing my mind. And this is what happened to King Nebi. He lost his mind. He went crazy. The Bible uses the phrase 7 times, literally 7 years or seven seasons. It would take him 7 years to break his pride and to acknowledge that heaven rules. And at the end of the seventh year, he finally admits, God, you are the real king, not me. And in verse 34, this is what we read. And at the end of the time, that's the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Listen, he could have saved himself all the embarrassment and repented on that first day. But just like you and me, we choose to say, God, I need to do this my way. I'm going to put myself on the throne. I'm going to wear the crown just for a little while. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll give it right back to you. And if this is happening in your heart, then this podcast is for you. In Psalm 10, verse 4, we read that the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. In other words, the proud are so consumed with themselves that they don't even think about God. Why? Because there's no room for God. So let me ask you, is what you're doing glorifying yourself? See, the Bible says that King Nebi had to do two things before his kingdom would be restored. Number one is acknowledge that heaven rules. And the second thing was to take care of the poor. Verse 27 says, therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Well, why was that important? Because God said, you care about all the pretty buildings and what the city looks like, but I care about the people in this city, and you've forgotten about them. Again, let me remind you of what pride does. You remember the acronym? The P, it puts yourself above others. That's exactly what he did. And the R ruins compassion for others. He was neglecting the poor. And the I ignites conflicts. And the D drains the joy out of those around you. And the E elevates your own ego. He ticked all of those boxes. And King Nebi ignored the warning. He kept oppressing the poor. And his pride just kept growing. So God had to show him who the real king was. And after 7 years, he finally repents and his kingdom is restored. But I want you to see something in verse 37. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase or put down. And notice how he refers to himself. He doesn't say, I, King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, but I, Nebuchadnezzar. The king part is gone. You can read that in both verse 34 and 37. The king is gone. It's just I, Nebuchadnezzar. He finally realized who the true king was. Now, God knew it would take him 7 years of heartbreak for him to humble his heart, but he finally acknowledges that heaven rules. Now, that phrase, heaven rules, may seem like a strange phrase to us, but it wasn't to the Babylonians, because all the gods and the idols that they worshipped, including those that came in from other nations that they captured, all of those gods were made or fashioned with someone's hands. But the Jews acknowledged that there was just one God who was the source and maker of everything. So by saying that heaven rules, the king is essentially saying, everything I've put my trust in my entire life has been wrong. And now I understand that it's God, it's heaven that rules. Listen, if you're going through what seems like 7 years of stress and insanity, and you think you're losing your mind, it needs to end today. Because it can. And it happens when you crown him king. When he becomes Lord of all. Your heart has to kneel. And when your heart doesn't kneel, That's pride. And when your life is full of pride, he will resist you. How do I know that? It's repeated for us three times. You can write this down. Proverbs 3:34, James 4:6, and 1 Peter 5:5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you keep pushing and God is resisting you, who's going to win? Listen, that tree in his dream doesn't just represent King Nebi. It represents your heart and your attitude. It can be your business, your marriage, your finances, your family drama. It's symbolic of everything that is keeping you from you acknowledging that heaven rules. It's everything that has crowned you king of your life. It's everything that is stopping you from crowning him king. Now let's be honest. What needs to be cut down so that your heart will bow to him? What does God have to do to get your attention? And until you surrender to him, until you let go of your pride and you crown him king, he will continue to resist you. Now let me go back to what King Nebi's name means. It means, may Nebu protect the crown. Are you trying to protect your crown today? Are you trying to keep yourself on the throne? The psalmist writes in Psalm 139, search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. In other words, if you will pray that today, you are giving him permission to cut down anything that is preventing him from being crowned king. Come on, God is trying to get your attention. Will you bow your heart and make him king? And if you've made him king, is he your Lord? Have you crowned him as king? Does he rule your heart and mind? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the lesson of King Nebi's life. And really, it's a picture of many of us. We are stubborn, full of pride, and we don't want to crown you king because we have made ourselves king of our own lives. Do what you need to do to humble us so that the crown is moved from off of our heads and put on yours. Help us to keep pride out of our life, and may our lives be an example of what it means to have you as our one and only crowned king. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would love for you to leave a positive review on the podcast platform, and here's why. If someone reads the review, they can and will decide to listen based on what you say. Secondly, the more positive ratings and reviews, the further it pushes the podcast into the algorithm so that people who are needing encouragement in their walk with Jesus will find it. And your review may be the tool that the Lord uses to lift someone up to the Father today. So please go do it. Thanks again for joining me. We'll see you next time.